Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. What do you think of when you hear the term rainbow? According to dictionary.com, a rainbow is a bow or arc of prismatic colors appearing in the heavens opposite the sun and caused by the refraction and reflection of the sun's rays in drops of rain. Now, you already know that that is what a rainbow is. But what is the first thing that comes to mind when you see a rainbow? Or when you see a rainbow on a shirt? Or a rainbow on a flag? Is it the everlasting covenant that was promised in Genesis chapters 6 through 9? In today's society, that is likely not the first idea brought forth when the term or depiction is given. For one thing, we live in a biblically illiterate society. If you were to go on the street and ask somebody passing you by who Job is, would they know who he is? Would they know of the person from the Bible who waited patiently for the Lord's word to come through almost all of the book named after him? Or would they think that you were mispronouncing the name Steve Jobs? You know, even in secular media, this can be seen. Job was mentioned in the 1990 movie Tremors, whereas this fall there is a movie coming out called Steve Jobs. It's pretty apparent that society and times are a-changing. The everlasting covenant with God is also not likely the first thing to be on your mind, because like in the days of Noah, the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth. Along with that evil comes fleeing from the Lord, wanting to do things your own way or one's own way. In the days before the flood, men and women did as they thought best, whether that was according to God's will or not. How different is society today? Isn't that the intention of postmodernism? That everything is relative and so you should go and do whatever you think is best? To act however you see fit? Perhaps times are not so a-changing as people would like to believe. This morning we're going to look at the Old Testament text and its context. Consider what things were happening then that are still taking place today, and what things are different from then to now. Before the Tower of Babel dispersed the languages, as we heard last week, and after God told Noah and his descendants to teem on the earth and multiply in it, that is, between those sections, God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "Behold, I establish my covenant with you and your offspring after you, and with every creature that is with you, the birds, the livestock, and every beast of the earth with you. As many as came out of the ark, it is for every beast of the earth. I establish my covenant with you." Here we may stop and get some background. After all, why was God establishing this covenant with Noah and his family? Why were the animals involved? What had just happened? Well, we had just heard that the flood had just happened. The flood had drowned every living thing on the earth except for believing Noah, his family, and a couple of every species on the planet, or every animal on the planet, every beast that they had taken with them on the ark. But why had there been a flood in the first place? Well, Genesis 6:5 gives us the reason. "The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart." Is there anywhere on earth today where it is only evil continuously? Is there anywhere in this nation that might have a slogan with that kind of idea? What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas? Do they think that God isn't in Vegas? Or that somehow he will overlook what's going on there? He knows what's going on in Vegas just as much as he knows what's going on here in our little part of Illinois. He is everywhere. He is omnipresent. And he is omniscient. He is all-knowing. He knows everything that is going on. So why not punishment yet? Because the Lord is patient. not wanting that any should perish, but that all should come to faith in his Son, Jesus the Christ. So will there be another punishment? No, yes. Ultimate judgment is coming. Will it be another flood? Well, no. Look at the text. God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth, and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh." So God will not destroy the world by the flood, by water. And because he has not yet come, there have come many scoffers. They come and say, "Where is he? Where is this coming destruction?" And they go about things as though every day to come would be the same. The scoffers deliberately overlook this fact, that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God, and that by means of these, the world that existed was deluged with water and perished. But by the same word, the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. This is what Peter proclaims in his second letter. Was Peter wrong? Look around. Listen to what people have to say. Read the news. Look at what people post on Facebook and Twitter. Was Peter wrong? Do people deliberately overlook the word of God? Now, how often do you overlook the word of God? How often do you continue to do a sin, even though you know it is wrong? Are there times and places that you think you are alone and that God is not present? Or that he will overlook what you're doing? Do you ever praise God that you're not like that person wearing the rainbow flag over there, or the person carrying the rainbow flag over there? Do you ever praise God that you're not like that person in jail? You ever praise God that you're not like that liar next door? Do you ever think that somehow you're better than them, or that somehow your sins are not quite as bad as theirs? How many sins does it take to be condemned? What kind of sins does it take? Who ultimately decided what is a sin and what is not a sin? Well, you already know that it takes less than even one sin, because we are born sinful. And even if we had not been born sinful, it takes only one sin to be condemned for eternal hellfire. One sin. It doesn't matter if it's a little white lie or murder. One sin is worthy of condemnation. Who decided that? Well, God decided that. Why did he get to decide that? Because he's the creator. I like the way that the adult instruction book says it, the Lutheranism 101. It asks, "Are you God? Well, did you create everything? If so, then you were God. If you did not create everything, then you were not God. And if you were not God, then you should follow what God has given as rules." So to review, God flooded the world and drowned all but Noah and his family and a couple of each animal or beast of the world. He did this because all but Noah had been doing evil continuously, while Noah was considered a righteous man before God. Not being God, we should live as God commands. So does that then mean that Noah was perfect? Well, no. That's not how he escaped the flood and he was given the everlasting covenant. Noah and his family were spared for two reasons. For one thing, Noah trusted God. He trusted the everlasting promise that was given to Eve in the garden. And for that, it was counted to him as righteousness, just as it was for Abraham. And for the second reason, God keeps his promises. God keeps his covenants. Just as it has never flooded the entire world again, and it never will, he also promised to Eve that one of her seed would be the one to save all of humanity. God keeps His promises. He kept Noah and his family alive so that a seed directly from Eve would be the one to save us from our sin. God keeps His promises. God keeps His covenant. God promised Eve that one from her direct line, a seed from her, would be the one to destroy sin and its punishment. And so it was in Jesus Christ. The difference between Noah and the rest of the world at his time was his belief and their unbelief. God saw that belief and counted it to Noah as righteousness. But Noah's faith was not his own doing, but was the gift of God through the Holy Spirit. Today, God looks at things the same way. It was funny this week. I was going to visit one of our shut-ins, and before I even mentioned what the text was going to be, he said, "Times are a-changing." And I kind of chuckled because I said, "We're just getting ready to read the text, and you say times are a-changing, and the text we're looking at shows how even though times are a-changing, God never does." And then I read for him this text from Genesis. I read to him about Noah and his faithfulness. Today, God continues to work in the same way. And yes, there will be a final judgment. The rest of the world, the secular world, if they do not repent and come to believe in Jesus Christ, will be condemned when God comes and judges the world by fire. But you, dear friends in Christ, you He will keep in His promise, in His Holy Spirit that He has given to you, in the one true faith in Jesus Christ, the one who fulfilled the covenant, and the one who destroyed the power of sin and its consequences. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds ever faithful unto life everlasting. Amen.